नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in which we have been discussing the last section, which is symptoms of a sthita pragya. In the previous section, Krishna described how by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, the heart becomes cleansed and one becomes qualified to practice Jnana Yoga. And the qualification for practicing Jnana Yoga is a heart which is very fixed. Samadhav achala buddhis tita pragya. Samadhav achala buddhis tada yogam avapsesi. He says that and when the mind is, when the intelligence is very fixed in samadhi, achala buddhihi. Yadate buddhihi nischala stasyati. When your intelligence becomes fixed, then one achieves samadhi. Then it becomes indifferent to the scriptural statements which glorify swarga and enjoyment in this material world. It becomes indifferent to that. So, Arjuna asked this question to start this next section. He says, what are the symptoms of a person who has reached that stage? Sthita pragyasya kabasha samadhistasya keshava sthitadir kim prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. So Arjuna asks that how do I person identify a person who has qualified himself to practice Jnana Yoga? How do I know that now it is enough to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. Now I am qualified to practice Jnana Yoga. How do I know that? What are the symptoms? So he says, Sthita Pragyasya Kabasha. What are the symptoms of a Sthita Pragya who has reached that stage? Sthita Dir Kim Prabhasheta. How does he speak? Which means, how does he respond to situations of duality? Pain, pleasure, honor, dishonor, respect, disrespect. How does he deal with these kind of situations? And kim asita, how does he sit? Which means, how does he engage his senses when it is not needed? Vrajeta kim, how does he walk? Which means, how does he engage his senses when it is needed to engage them? So these were the series of questions asked by Arjuna, in response to which Krishna answers, first, what are his symptoms? Prajahati yadakaman sarvan partha manogatan atman yevatmana tushta sthita pragyas dochate. He says, yada prajahati sarvan manogatan kaman. When a person is, he completely gives up all the desires which are born out of the mind, which means which are born out of material vasanas, which means he is no longer getting any desires born out of material vasanas, because all the material vasanas have been wiped out by his practice of perfectly practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga. Yada prajahati sarvan manogatan kaman Atmani eva atmana tushta. And because there are no material vasanas, he is not having any material aspiration, then does he not have any aspiration at all? No, he has aspiration for realizing the self. He is completely satisfied with his endeavor to realize the self. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha sthita pragyas tadochate. He is a sthita pragya. Then he says in the next verse, how does he speak? How does he respond to dualities? Dukkeshu anudvignamanas, sukeshu vigata spruha, vitaraga bhaya krodha stitavir munigacchate. Dukkeshu anudvignam. When there is a distressful situation, he does not get carried away by grief. Sukeshu vigata spruha. And when there is an opportunity for happiness, he is not like he does not get very excited to enjoy. And further he clarifies this by telling Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. How does one know that one has overcome? He's free from raga. Raga means attachment. Why does he not get excited when there is an opportunity to enjoy? Because he is not attached to enjoying. And how does one know that one has no desire to enjoy? When that object of enjoyment is taken away, when he does not become angry, then he has no attachment to enjoy. Vita raga, vita krodha, and vita bhaya. And while that object is there, he does not fear, oh, when that object will be taken away from me. So he is not consumed because he has no attachment, he has no fear, and he has no anger. He has no anger when that object is taken away. He has no fear anticipating that it will be taken away because he has no attachment to that object at all. So this is how he responds to dualities. Then, in the next verse, he says, "Yas sarvatranabhisnehas tattat prapya shubhashubham navinandanti nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita." So he says, "Sarvatra anabhisneha." He does not have any kind of motivated affection at all. He does not show special affection to someone if he has anything that he wants to accomplish through that person. He does not have any motivated affection. Shubha prapya na abhinandanti, ashubham prapya na dveshti. He does not rejoice on attaining some good fortune and he does not curse on attaining some bad fortune. So, tasya pragya pratishtita. Such a person's intelligence is very fixed. So, in this way, till now, Krishna has described stita pragyasya ka bhasha, what are his symptoms, and kim prabhasheta, how does he speak, which means how does he respond to dualities. Then he describes how kim asita, how does he sit, which means how does he not engage his senses when it is not needed. So, yada samharate chayam kurmongani va sarvashah. Indriyani indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. He says that such a person is able to easily withdraw his senses from the sense objects, just like a turtle or a tortoise. Whenever there is a predator approaching the tortoise, or whenever the tortoise senses that a predator is approaching him, then immediately he can with the senses inside his shell at his will. Okay, he has full control over all those limbs. You know, he can immediately withdraw it in that he can be protected. Similarly, the sthitaprajna also is compared to a tortoise, that whenever there is no need to engage the senses in the objects of senses, he is able to very easily withdraw it. So that's how. So then one may say, oh, what is the big deal? What is the big deal in removing the senses? Because a person who is fasting, like tomorrow is Nirjala Ekadashi, if one is fasting from food and on top of that one is going to fast from water also, especially in Kali Yuga, the prana or the strength is in anna only. So he says, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. Rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So one may say that what is the big deal in not engaging the senses from the sense objects? Any person who is fasting, because he is fasting from anna, the prana is in anna, especially in Kali Yuga. So when one does not take ahara, then the prana becomes very weak. When the prana becomes weak, because prana is powering the indriyas, especially the karmendriyas, so therefore he cannot enjoy, the karmendriyas cannot enjoy. So what is the big deal? Even a person who fasts from food, he can restrict the senses from approaching the sense objects. What is the big deal? Oh, why do you have to perform jnana yoga and all that, and or nishkama karma yoga, and why do you have to become a sthita pragya like that? So he says, no. Even though who is niraharasya dehinaha, one who is fasting, he may not have the ability to engage his senses in the sense objects, but the desire to enjoy does not go away. As soon as he gets some strength, then he engages his senses with full gusto. So, like that. So, but asthitapragya is not like that. Asthitapragya is not artificially fasting from the sense objects, but rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So, he says that param drishtva, having seen the atma, asya rasop rasaha api nivartate. His desire to enjoy, the rasa to enjoy, is also gone. Because he has developed a higher taste of relishing atma. Like that he describes. Then, but then the next verse he says, but this stage can be attained only by very strict sadhana. It is very difficult to show such detachment in a very premature, at a very premature level, he says. Yatatohi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manaha. One may be a vipaschitaha purusha. One may be a very intelligent person, very wise man. Just because he is wise, theoretically wise, he may not be self-realized. That is the difference between being wise and being self-realized. Being realization stage. There is knowledge, there is wisdom, there is realization. Okay. Realization means completely internalized knowledge. Internalized because of having experienced the higher taste. Whereas a wise man, he may have wisdom, but he may not have developed the higher taste to internalize that wisdom completely in the form of realization. So here is a vipaschitaha. He is a wise man and he may endeavor to control his senses, but he may often fail because there is no param drishtva. Because there is no experience of the higher taste. Okay. So he is telling that don't think that this anyone who speaks or exhibits wisdom is not necessarily a param, is not necessarily a sthita pragya. A sthita pragya is a very high stage. It is not just wisdom. It is wisdom which is completely internalized and realized in the form of it is internalized in the form of realizations. So, like that. But what is the secret weapon of that person who goes from the stage of wisdom to realization? What is that secret weapon? That secret weapon is matpara. That secret weapon is called as matpara. Matpara means डिवोटेड टू कृष्ण तानि सर्वाणि संयम्य युक्त आसीत मत्परा वशे ही यस्येन्द्रियाणि तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. सो द योगी डिवोटेड टू मी तानि सर्वाणि संयमे ही इज एबल टू रिस्ट्रेन ऑल हिज सेंसेस एंड ही इज एबल टू रिमेन अनरेस्पॉन्सिव टू द सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स. वशे ही यसे इंद्रियानी तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. वन हूज इंद्रिया इज ब्रॉट अंडर कंट्रोल इन दिस वे ही इज अ स्थित प्रज्ञ. सो वॉट इज सीक्रेट वेपन दट ट्रांसफॉर्म्स विजडम इन टू रियलाइजेशन दट इज डिवोशन टू कृष्ण. सो ईवन अ ज्ञान योगी हैज टू हैव दट एलिमेंट ऑफ डिवोशन टू कृष्ण. ही मे नॉट बी अ प्योर डिवोटी but worshipping krishna is essential even for gyana yogis. So if he does not do that, then the ability to control the senses is not achieved. So in the next verse he says, what if one is not a sthita pragya, then what happens, right? ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगस्तेषु उपजायते संगात् संजायते कामः कामात् क्रोधो विजायते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोह सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रम स्मृतिभ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशो बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति. सो वी हैड एन एलैबोरेट डिस्कशन ऑन दिस सीरीज लास्ट टाइम. सो इफ वन has not reached the stage of param drishva nivartate, if one has not reached that stage of higher taste because of yukta asita matpara, because of developing because of having a devotional disposition towards the supreme lord, then soon as he looks at a sense object he starts meditating on it. When he starts meditating on it, it leads to sangaha. Sangha is attachment, and attachment leads to kama, a more active desire to enjoy it. And when someone takes that object of kama away, then it leads to krodha. Kama when fulfilled leads to lobha. Kama when unfulfilled leads to krodha. So we saw that the senses touch the sense objects, then it leads to dhyayato, dhyayato leads to sangha, sangha leads to kama. When kama is fulfilled, it leads to lobha and krodha. Well, it fulfilled leads to lobha, unfulfilled leads to krodha. And both lobha and krodha leads to sammoha. Sammoha leads to smriti vibhrama. The bewilderment of one's memory. Smriti Brahmshad Buddhi Nasho, Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. So therefore, if you see Buddhi Nasha, what is Buddhi Nasha? What is Sammoha? Sammoha means loss of discrimination as to what is right and what is wrong. Krodha and Lobha, when they are very intense, form of, they are much more intense than Kama, the desire to enjoy. Then it leads to Sammoha. Sammoha means loss of discrimination as to what is right and what is, whether this is anukul for my bhakti or not, one loses the discrimination. And Sammoha Smriti Vibhrama. The Smriti Vibhrama means loss of memory as to, oh, what do the Shastras say? How can I overcome lust? You know, what do the Shastras say? You know, that memory is lost. And if memory is lost, then the determination to resist the sense gratification is also lost. That is called as Buddhi Nasha. Actually, discrimination, memory, determination, all three are various aspects of intelligence. So when we don't surrender to Krishna, when there is no matpara, then first the mind surrenders. Okay, there are four stages of surrendering of mind. First, dhyayato. The mind first surrenders by meditating on the sense object. Then the second stage of surrender of mind is that object which it's meditating upon, it becomes attached to that object. This is the second stage of surrender of mind. Then the third stage of surrender of mind is it develops an active desire to enjoy that object. This is the third stage of surrender of Hare Krishna, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you. Because the power supply went off, so there was loss of my Wi-Fi also went. So I just connected it to my phone, what do you call it? Hotspot. If you can hear it, good. So we were in the stages of surrender of mind. Mind and intelligence we were discussing. I will just go to the section. So yeah, we were discussing dhyayato vishayan pumsasangaste jayate. So the first stage of surrender of mind is when it starts meditating on the object of sense gratification. So then a more deeper form of surrender is when it becomes attached to it. A still more deeper form of surrender is when it develops an active desire to enjoy it. And then it becomes even more intense when it transforms into lobha or krodha. So at that stage, then it pulls the intelligence also. It forces the intelligence to surrender. The nature of intelligence is discrimination, memory, and determination. All these three are qualities of intelligence. So because we are not surrendering to Krishna, because the mind is not attached to Krishna and is not experiencing the taste, after mind surrender, mind pulls the intelligence, forces the intelligence also to surrender. First stage of surrender of intelligence is it loses discrimination. What is right, what is wrong, one forgets. Then the second stage is loss of memory as to various tips which the shastras give to counteract material attachment, material lust, material desires, all that the shastras say, that memory will go away from that person. And finally, his determination to stay from sense gratification and engage in continuous consciousness, that determination also deserts that person. Then when the determination to practice bhakti and give gratification deserts him, then pranashyati, then the soul cannot be saved. So in this way, the stages of, you know, what was described, which is the, yeah, anyway, in one of the verses it was mentioned, is it 69? Just hold on for a second. I think it is 69. No, not 69. 67. इन्द्रियाणां हितां यन्मनो अनुविधीयते तदस्य हरति प्रज्ञां वायुर्नावं वसि. सो दिस वर्स वन इवन वन ऑफ द मूविंग सेंसेस विच दि फॉलोस स्टील्स अवे द इंटेलिजेंस एज विंड मूव्स अ बोट ऑन द वाटर. सो दिस वर्स this is the elaboration of this verse. These two verses are the elaboration of this verse. How senses pull the mind and the mind pulls the intelligence and the intelligence drowns the soul into samsara. This is elaborated in these two verses, 62. In this we had a long discussion about the nature of mind, how mind actually responds to the surface impressions, how the nature of the mind is to make the best use of the bad again. So therefore, if we keep continuously engaging our sense in Krishna conscious activities, even though mechanically, the food for the mind comes through the senses. So when the senses are constantly engaged in Krishna conscious activities, the mind's food is all Krishna conscious. So the mind is forced to meditate on only Krishna conscious activities, in which the mind may choose some favorable Krishna conscious meditations. The mind may like kirtan then shravan, it may like prasadam more seva, whatever it is, but as long as the mind, and in prasadam the mind may like South Indian prasadam more than North Indian prasadam, whatever it is, but as long as the mind's nature is to, it will search the most pleasurable object or activity amongst whatever is provided to it. So the nature of mind. So if we restrict non-Krishna enjoyment and give Krishna conscious enjoyment to the mind, then the mind becomes a little peaceful. Like one day, in response to, I think, Shams just addressing this point, there are stages of practicing devotional service. Just hold on for one second. I will just. Okay. Yeah. So there are four stages of practicing pure devotional service. The first is the succumbing stage, where we come to our lower modes and engage in non-conscious sense gratification. The higher stage is the dovetailing stage, where we understand I have certain requirements at stage, I cannot, I have certain attachments, and I will try to give up the non-Krishna conscious attachment, but I will try to dovetail the Krishna consciousness. Whatever attachments are dovetailable in Krishna consciousness, do it. Meaning, I will engage enjoyable Krishna conscious activities. And then one can gradually reach level of Yukta Vairagya, where one is to utilize only those objects which they can engage Krishna's service. Okay. And then finally, which is the highest stage of spontaneous devotional service. Many times, as practitioners or as leaders, we make a very big mistake. We emphasize, we say that you should not try to do those activities you like, because if you end up doing activities which like, that is actually essentially sense gratification only, that is not bhakti. Many times we keep speaking like that. So, either as a follower thinks that, if I like this devotional activity, then I should not do it. Because that is sense gratification, na? That is not for the pleasure of Krishna. So what happens? He starts avoiding likable Krishna's activities, and because he is not doing anything that he is within the realm of Krishna consciousness, but the desired joy is still there, he is pulled down to enjoy in a very non-Krishna conscious way. So in a very non-Krishna conscious way. So he keeps succumbing. So he it so so overcoming the succumbing stage becomes very difficult. So but a mature leader, when he identifies that his subordinate is vulnerable to gliding down to the succumbing stage, a mature leader will ensure that this person is engaged heartedly in those activities of dual service which he likes, so that he starts gaining a firm grip in the activities of Krishna consciousness. So he should not be embarrassed, feeling that, oh, you are trying to do only activities which this is essentially not bhakti, this is essentially gratification only. So then he will start avoiding those activities within the realm of bhakti, but because the desire to enjoy is not has not gone, he will succumb. He will secretly succumb to his lower modes and engage in non-Krishna conscious sense gratification. You cannot skip the second stage and go directly to the third stage, Yukta Vairagya. So therefore, especially when one is still vulnerable to glide down to stage one, one should consciously in stage two, which means engaging in likable Krishna conscious activities. So then gradually he can start liking to engage in activities purely for the pleasure of Krishna. So while engaging in activities for the pleasure of Krishna is definitely our aim, our deep desire, but we understand our vulnerabilities and weakness and ensure that, we engage in likable Krishna conscious activities and gradually transcend to Yukta Vairagya, and then subsequently we can reach the stage of spontaneous devotional service. So this we are discussing in this context of mind. Because I think I spent a little longer time on this thing. So the nature of the mind, which is very important and which is very advantageous for us, is that the mind very quickly chooses, or the mind very quickly adjusts itself the best available pleasure. So therefore, even I gave the example of, my schooling. If you remember, in school, after I was mentioning that coming back from my vacation time, how I used to suffer the stench of the bad smell, the fish smell coming from my mess. But gradually, over a period of time, within a few days, the mind gets adjusted and starts searching for the pleasure, even in that stinking mess. It used to get adjusted, and we used to meditate upon the Wednesday afternoons and the Friday nights for our ceremonial lunch and ceremonial dinner. That is the nature of mind. Initially, it will complain, but then when it realizes that there is no, even if I complain, it's not going to improve, then the mind starts searching for pleasure in a compromised position. There. So, yeah, in this context, we were discussing that. Therefore, it is important that that we engage first in mechanical devotional service. Mechanical devotional service means, engaging our mind before engaging our mind, very consciously trying to continuously give Krishna conscious engagement for our senses. Agar man lage ya na lage. So then gradually the mind will gain a firm foothold in Krishna conscious activities. Like that. Okay. So this is what we were discussing. And then finally, he discussed about the fourth question. How does he walk? Which means, how does he engage his senses when there is a need to engage the senses? So he says, Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atma vasher videyatma prasadam adigachati. So we saw that he says, one whose mind is submissive, videyat, one whose mind has become submissive to the Krishna conscious intelligence, vishayan indriyais charan, who engages the senses in the objects of senses, raga dvesha vimuktaistu. Generally, our senses go after that sense object to which it is attached. It is raga which pushes the senses to the particular sense objects. Whereas asthita pragya, because his heart is purified, his mind is purified, therefore there is no raga and dvesha. So when his senses go after a particular sense object, it is purely for survival. It is purely for surviving so that I can perform my sadhana. For that purpose, senses engage in the objects of sense objects, in the sense objects purely for survival. So, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atma vashair videyatma prasadam adigachati. So, one whose mind is submissive and who engages in the sense objects with the senses, freed of attachment and repulsion, under the control of the mind, attains peace. Prasadam adigachati. So one whose mind is submissive to instructions, okay. So he attains peace, prasadam. So contacting the sense objects is not a fault. Rather, it is a good quality for one who does so with control. So it is not a fault for the senses to come in touch with the sense objects. But as well as those senses are guided by a mind which is controlled by the intelligence, which is controlled by the soul, then for that sense to come in touch with the sense object is not a fault. Rather, it is a good quality. This is where we ended our discussion the last time we met. So, Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyais Charan Atma Vashair Videyatma Prasadam Adigachati. So this is where we ended. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move on to today's discussion? Anything anyone would like to share as add? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, these four stages, the succumbing stage, the dovetailing stage, the Yukta Vairagya, spontaneous devotion service, these are the stages of the mind. These stages are what the mind goes through, correct? So
yeah, you can say the mind, you can say the mind, intelligence, senses, or you can say that the whole, you can say the sadhaka goes through this stage, you know.
Okay, so my question is, so is it important for the sadhaka to understand what are his strengths and weaknesses, or what are his the strong points on which his mind can dwell on? For example, somebody may be attracted to cooking, somebody may be attracted to writing. So Is it important that the sadhaka understands what his strong points are, or what his mind would or his intelligence would engage more easily, so that this dovetailing stage becomes, you know, more practically applicable. So then,
yes,
then he would come from the succumbing to the dovetailing stage, right?
Yes, definitely. One should definitely know what are his vulnerabilities and what are his, or rather I would say, what are his vulnerabilities which are non-dovetailable attachment, what are they? And in order to overcome that non-dovetailable attachments, what are the strongly dovetailable attachments which he has? So he has to identify them very clearly. So while he has to stay away from the non-dovetailable weaknesses, and in order to perfectly stay away from that, he should cling on to his dovetailable attachments and keep engaging him in that, so that he gets some rub, so he gets some juice out of it, so that he is not on a slippery slope, and he will not glide down to the succumbing
right.
stage.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very important.
Correct. So that makes it, in one sense, every sadhaka should have a personality chart kind of thing. Like, this is my type of personality. Understanding that this, I as a person, I am more like, you know, driven by driven by endeavors, or driven by so understanding my drive, right? So it's like, my question is, it's important for the sadhaka to understand his own personality.
Well,
like, it cannot be just an ABCD for everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah. But one need not make it so complicated also. It's just that, no one thinks so much, even in the outside world. But people do identify what they like and what they don't like. So in the outside world, it's so easy. It's just that you identify what you like, what you don't like. But additionally, one additional exercise that the devotee has to do is to just find out, amongst things that I like, which are dovetailable in Krishna consciousness and which are detrimental to Krishna consciousness. He has to identify that. That's all. I mean, one need not do a complex personality type test and things like that. I mean, that is not really necessary. But everyone knows what they relish in, what can keep them quite absorbed without getting distracted. One knows that. So it's just as simple as that. One need not go to a psychologist to get a personality test done, and you know, and all those things are not needed. I mean, I don't think that. So it's as simple as, no, I mean, you know your likings, you know your vulnerabilities, weaknesses, and you know your strengths. So just identify it, and that which is dovetailable, engage in them, so that you gain a firm footing in Krishna consciousness. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay. Oh, okay. Sachi Pran bro.
I will put you below tonight.
Sandat bro.
Am I audible, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, you are.
So, Prabhu, when the objects are not available for the senses, it is very easy to control.
Mm-hmm.
And when objects are available, still you are able to control. I mean to say that it's the same like the senses, you know, hankering for objects.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no availability of sense gratification. So is it easy to, you know,
avoid
follow that, avoid, or you can engage your senses into some as per your tendencies, you are engaging in Krishna conscious activities. But when senses sense gratification is easily available and still you are able to control it, that happens with with the difficulties
advance.
Or maybe So my question is like you are moral till your opportunity is not there to become immoral.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
So my question is, Prabhuji, unless we get them little higher taste, we don't able to drop the lower taste. So what
correct.
Is the stage where we can able to identify? Yes, I am. I am having some higher taste. That's why I'm not able to, getting attracted to this. You are not getting entangled into the actions, but at least your mind is telling this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong. Your intelligence is constantly helping you to avoid the things.
So your question is, how do I identify at this stage? Yes, I have developed a higher taste and I will not succumb.
Correct.
Is that your question, too? Yeah.
Because is it the environment helping that person to, or is it he has received the higher taste, that's why he is able to avoid that sense gratification? What is that? Like sometimes a sangha, like you are in a sangha, your environment is like that. So that you easily able to, avoid that kind of sense gratification.
Better.
Person is not sitaprajna, he is not reached to that level. But he feels he's like a sitaprajna. He's able to control, he's able to do everything. But the moment the environment is not there, or the moment the external situations are not conducive, the situation may not help him to, And then again, he's like, I was able to do, I was completely like sitaprajna. How it can happen like that again? So this kind of ups and downs in the consciousness of the person depends upon the situation. So sometimes we tell that the bhakti is not dependent on external factors, like apart from the association.
No. No, we don't say like that. That is not the right understanding. Then why are we talking about anukulyasa sankalpo pratikulyasa varjanam? Accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable. And we don't say, what we say is bhakti is, when we say bhakti is independent, we have to understand what it means. We don't say that bhakti is not dependent on the external circumstances. But we say that for bhakti does not need the assistance of karma, the path of karma, the path of dhyana or path of yoga. That we say within the bhakti, a very integral part of practice of bhakti is to identify what is anukul for bhakti and what is pratikul for bhakti, and accepting what is anukul and rejecting what is pratikul. So that falls in the category of bhakti only. So when we say that is, what we say is, we don't need us. The lives of jnana, yoga, etc. to practice bhakti, but know what constitutes bhakti also. So one of the very integral aspects of practice is to consciously accept association, appear, things, services, etc. pull for our bhakti, and consciously avoid atmosphere, people, things, and services which are pratikul to our practice of bhakti. So we never say that bhakti is independent of external situation. We never say that. That is never mentioned.
And when the stage can come, Prabhuji, where he doesn't have to easily see that what, he is able to control it without this, he consciously he has
Nishta.
To avoid. Okay. At the stage of Nishta, he will not able to.
This is the stage of Nishta.
Okay. So he is now consciously has to try to follow the principle of anukulyasa pratikul like that. Because anukul, whatever situations were anukul and pratikul. Still the stage of nishtha, he has to consciously avoid or consciously accept the things.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else anyone would like to share as I had before we move ahead? Okay. Here in the 64th verse, Krishna says, one whose mind is submissive, who engages in the sense objects with the senses, freed of attachment and repulsion. So, a sthita pragya is because he is not having raga dvesha, therefore, his engagement of the sense objects with the senses are not driven by raga or dvesha. So, therefore, such an engagement of sense objects with the senses leads to peace. Rather, when senses come in touch with the sense objects, then gradually then dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammohat sammohat smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat pranashyati. You know, the whole the process of how the living entity gets completely trapped in this samsara is described just when the senses come in touch with the sense objects. But for a sthita pragya, one who is self-realized, for him, when the senses come in touch with sense objects, it leads to prasadam, peace. While when our senses come in touch with sense objects, like that as soon as we look at an object of gratification, we lose peace actually. A conditioned soul who is not a siddha pragya, he loses peace as soon as senses come in touch with the sense objects. As soon as the eyes come in touch with, let's say, rasgulla or something, then immediately till we eat that rasgulla, we lose peace. We keep thinking like, how I can enjoy, how I can enjoy, how I can enjoy. But this is free of raga dvesha, because his heart is completely cleansed by the perfect practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Therefore, when his senses come in touch with the sense objects, he attains peace by that. Prasadam adigachati. Because atma vashaihi. The senses are perfectly under the control of the mind, and the mind is perfectly under the control of the intelligence. The mind is submissive, vidheyatma. The mind is submissive to the instructions of the intelligence. And that mind is engaging the senses to come in touch with the sense objects. So therefore, that kind of touch is not a binding touch. It is a liberating touch. It is a liberating touch, right? Like in CPT, child protection also, we teach the children what is a good touch and a bad touch, right? So similarly, for a conditioned soul, his touch is a bad touch. When the senses touch the sense objects, it's a bad touch. It's a binding touch. But for the liberated soul, for the sthita pragya, his touch is always a good touch. When he senses the sense object, it is a liberating touch. Prasadam madigachati. Because that touch is not driven by raga or dvesha. It is not a raga dvesha driven touch, but it is a touch which is driven by a need for survival. He can perform his sadhana and attain liberation. So that touch is liberating. So he says, prasadam madigachati. Under the control of the mind, when the senses come in touch with the sense objects, then he attains peace. Madigachati, prasadam madigachati. So then in the next verse, Krishna says, prasade sarva dukkanam हानिरस्योपजायते प्रसन्नचेतसोह्याशु बुद्धिर्पर्यवतिष्ठते प्रसादे. फ्रॉम दिस पीस उपजायते, फ्रॉम दिस पीस अराइजेस Asya sarva dukkhanam anihi. From this peace arises destruction of all distress. Ashu, very quickly, prasanna chetasaha buddhihi. The intelligence of the peaceful minded person, paryavatishtate, it becomes completely fixed in Brahman. So he says that Vishayan Indriyaishcharanatma Prasadam Madhigachati. One whose mind is submissive, who engages the sense objects with the senses, freed of attachment and repulsion, under the control of the mind, attains peace. And from this peace arises destruction of all miseries. And quickly the intelligence of that peaceful minded person becomes completely fixed. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur writes, the intelligence is fixed in its desired goal completely. Buddhir pari avatishtati paryavatishtati. All distress is destroyed, but because of no desire for enjoying the objects, the person accepting necessary objects of the senses for his survival, he attains tranquility. Right? So, I remember Radhesham Prabhu once sharing this, you know, of course, he's very elevated soul. He was telling that, you know, it doesn't matter. He never asked what is there for prasadam. You know, I've heard about him. He never asked what is there for prasadam because, I mean, what is the need to ask such a question? Prasadam is for filling the stomach for survival, right? It is for filling the stomach for survival. So you never ask what is there for prasadam. You know, so that's all. Whatever comes, it comes. You know, it's only for survival. So when you are taking for just mere survival, when you are free from that raga dvesha, I like it, I don't like it, then prasadam adhigachati, there is peace. So prasade sarvadukkanam hanihi. With such a peace, there is no distress. Because distress is why? When you get something which you don't like, there is distress. When you don't get something which you like, there is distress. But when you are just engaging the senses with the sense objects purely for survival, when it is only for survival, then there is no distress. Prasade sarva dukkhanam anirasyopajayate. He has a peaceful consciousness, prasanna chetasaha, just because of bhakti. Prasanna chetasohi ashu buddhir paryavatishtati. So the first canto of Bhagavatam states that without bhakti, one cannot have a peaceful mind. Vyasadev, even though writing the Vedanta Sutras, did not have happiness of mind, but he gained peace of heart through bhakti taught by Narada Muni. Therefore, ultimately, the key that was mentioned was matpara. Matpara. Matpara means to be attached to Krishna, to be completely surrendered to Krishna. So such a matpara, when he is matpara, then he can control his senses. And when the senses are controlled, then even in engaging his senses with the sense objects purely for the purpose of survival, he attains peace. And when peace is there, then there is destruction of all kinds of suffering. Prasade sarvadukkanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna chetaso. Then his intelligence becomes happy because of that satisfaction which comes through bhakti. Buddhir paryavatishtati. Like that. This is the next verse that Krishna describes here in this purport. In this verse, and Srila Vishwanatha Chaitanya Thakur is explaining in this purport. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Yes, Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, I had this doubt that the peace, sometimes can be like, as you shared that example of you adjusting to the fish smell. You know, sometimes the peace may be due to our mental adjustment and, you know, trying to adjust to our surroundings, which may not be so good for our bhakti, you know, that peace that we have attained by adjusting, you know, where we should have rebelled actually. We should have said no. So how do we distinguish, like, you know, this peace is for my good, or is it just, you know, my mental adjustment and I'm just trying to adjust to? So how do we make a distinction between the peace that this sitapragya person gets and the peace that comes from, you know, just adjusting and, you know, just trying to you know, go with our surroundings? Do you get
That comes from to the extent our intelligence is sharpened through the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we will be able to understand what kind of peace we are getting. Is it just the mental adjustment peace or the higher taste peace? So that is why we should constantly be guided by the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, so that we know that in what direction we are getting adjusted, whether the peace is favorable and conducive for my Krishna consciousness. As you rightly said, that, you know, I stayed there for a few days and my mind and senses got adjusted to the fish smell and that stench, but that was probably not conducive for my Krishna consciousness. But still, nevertheless, the mind adjusted. But that adjustment, that mind would not have adjusted in that situation, rather rebelled and sought out a more conducive atmosphere if only my intelligence was sharpened by the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. But if it is not sharpened by the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the mind will look out for a lower adjustment, which is non-conducive for the practice of devotional service. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move ahead? Okay, let's continue then. So then he continues. So in the previous verse he says, Prasade sarvadukkanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna chetasohi ashu buddhir paryavatishtate. Prasade sarvadukkanam hani. By such peace, all kinds of miseries are destroyed. But on the other hand, नास्ति बुद्धिर अयुक्तस्य नचायुक्तस्य भावना नच अभावयत शांतिर अशांतस्य कुतः सुखम. सो नाउ ही इज, दिस इज अ कॉन्ट्रास्ट वर्स. सो ही इज क्रिएटिंग अ कॉन्ट्रास्ट बाय कॉन्ट्रास्टिंग द स्थितप्रज्ञस सिचुएशन विद अ कंडीशन सोल सिचुएशन. सो इन कॉन्ट्रास्ट, ayuktasya, for a person with uncontrolled mind, in contrast to, so the ayuktasya is contrasted to a vidheyatma. Okay, vidheyatma means one whose mind is completely under control. But for a person with uncontrolled mind, na asti buddhihi, there is no fixed intelligence which is fixed on the soul. Nacha ayuktasya bhavana, and there is no meditation on the Paramatma. So without a controlled mind, the intelligence cannot fix on the soul and one cannot meditate on the Paramatma. Nacha abhavayataha shantihi, and without meditation, one can have no peace. Ashantasya kutasukam, and without peace, where is bliss? There can be no bliss. Because peace is actually foundational to bliss. Without peace, one cannot have bliss. So that's what he says here. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha ayuktasya bhavana nacha abhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. Where can there be bliss without peace? So here Shri Vishnu Jagadakur says, Krishna makes his statement clear by stating the effects of the opposite condition. For one who has not controlled the mind, there is no intelligence, no prajna fixed on the soul. For one who not having such prajna arising from controlled mind, meditation on the Supreme Lord is also not possible. Not performing meditation, he does not have peace, which is the cessation of agitation from sense objects. Peace means no agitation from the sense objects, that is peace. And this person without peace does not have bliss from the soul. Like that. So therefore he says, so this verse is creating a contrast between a sthita prajna and one whose mind is totally uncontrolled. Like that. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha ayuktasya bhavana nacha abhavayata shantir ashantasya kutasukam. Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions? Okay, let's continue then. The next verse, he says, what happens to such a person? One whose mind is not controlled, what happens to such a person? Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano anuvidiyate tadasya harati prajnam vayur navam ivambasi. For such a person, charatam indriyanam, even one of the moving senses, yad mano anuvidiyate, which the mind follows, tadasya harati prajnam, it steals away that intelligence. Vayur navam ivambasi. Even one of the moving senses, which the mind follows, steals away the intelligence. And like we saw how this happens, right? Even one of the senses which is sitting on a sense object, it steals the mind. How? Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate. And then how the mind steals away the intelligence? Krodhat bhavati sammohat sammohat smriti vibrama smriti bramshat buddhi nasho. The three stages of surrender of intelligence. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Then that's intelligence which has surrendered to the dictates of the mind, then drowns the soul in samsara. Like that. So this verse examines the person with no intelligence due to lack of control of mind. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha ayuktasya bhavana. Na asti buddhir ayuktasya. For one whose mind is not controlled, his intelligence, he does not have an intelligence which is fixed on the soul. He has no intelligence. That is described here. Among all the senses moving towards their respective sense objects, the mind follows after one sense. The mind follows after one sense. In this way, a person follows each of the senses. Such a mind takes away the intelligence of that person, just as unfavorable wind takes a boat off course, which is being steered somewhere on the water. Okay, we may be steering the boat in a particular direction, but if there is a strong wind in the opposite direction, then despite our steering in a particular direction, the boat may move in the direction of the wind, like that. So therefore, Krishna concludes here. He says, Tasmad yasya mahabaho nigrihitani sarvashah indriyani indriyartebhyastasya pragya patishtita. Therefore, He who completely restricts the senses from the sense objects by fixing the mind on me. Indriyan Indriyartebhya. O Mahabaho Tasya Pragya Pratishthita. He is a Sita Pragya. So therefore, one who is Matpara, one whose mind is perfectly fixed on me, and by fixing his mind on me, when he is able to control the mind and thus control the senses from approaching the sense objects completely, he is a Sthita Pragya. This is the conclusion. He who controls his mind, restricts his senses from the sense objects, he is fixed in intelligence. O mighty armed one, just as you control your enemies with your strength, you should also control your mind using your intelligence, which is Matpara. Surrendered to me. Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions before we move on? Okay, let's continue then. Yasha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato munehe. Samyami jagrati tasyam. Samyami means the controlled soul, which means one who is asthita pragya. Asthita pragya jagarti tasyam, he stays awake. Ya sarvabhutanam nisha. Nisha means night. Samyami, asthita pragya, who is a self-controlled soul, jagarti, he stays awake. Nisha, at that which is night for sarvabhutanam. Ya nisha sarvabhutanam. That which is night for all the living entities. The Siddha Pragya stays awake. And Pashyato Munehe Nisha. Pashyato Munehe means the observant sage who is the Siddha Pragya. His night is Sa Yasyam Jagarti Bhutani. His night is when, which is the state of awakening, or not state of awakening, which is the time when all the other living entities stay awake, that is the night for this Sthita Pragya. Yes. So he says, the Sthita Pragya is able to control his senses very naturally. There are two types of intelligence. That which is directed towards the soul and that which is directed towards matter. The intelligence directed towards the soul is night for all other entities, because any spiritual subject matters, they have no interest. So night indicates lack of interest. Day indicates enthusiastic interest. So this is a very metaphorical presentation. That which is night for the Sthita Pragya is the day for the living entities, which means matter which is of no interest to the Sthita Pragya generates enthusiastic interest for common people. Whereas soul, which is the object of interest of the Sthita Pragya, creates absolutely no interest in ordinary living entities. That's what this means. Just as in the night, people sleeping do not know what is happening at that time. So all living entities do not know the things which are being pursued by the intelligence directed towards the soul. So the intelligence, when it is directed towards the soul, what all it gains and everything, an ordinary living entity cannot understand it at all. But during that night, the Sthita Pragya or the Sanyami controlling his senses is awake and not sleeping. In other words, he directly realizes the bliss from fixing his intelligence on the soul. So what bliss could be there for that intelligence which is directed towards the soul, the common man can never understand. And the Sthita Pragya is wondering what Jews are these conditioned souls getting by constantly directing their intelligence towards matter? So when the living entities are awake with intelligence directed towards material sense objects, they realize directly the happiness, lamentation, and bewilderment of those sense objects upon which their intelligence is fixed. So when the ordinary living entities direct their intelligence towards matter, they experience happiness, lamentation, bewilderment, etc. They are not sleeping. But that is night for the Muni, the Sthitapragya, who does not experience fixing his intelligence on those objects at all. But he does seize those objects. He sees those objects. He sees those objects, but he does not get attracted to it. He looks upon all those sense objects which give happiness and distress to the people bound in samsara with disinterest. He has no interest in them. This means that he accepts the required sense objects for his survival without being affected, as we saw. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan indriyartan vimudatma. Sorry. Vishayan indriyais charan atma vashair videyatma prasadam adhigacchati. Like that. So that is this verse. Yanisha sarva bhutanam, that which is night for the common man, is the day for the self-realized soul, and that which is the day for the self-realized soul is night for common man. Like that. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask. Okay. Let's continue. 70th verse. Apuryamanam achalapratishtam samudramapah pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantimapnoti na kama kami yadvat apah pravishanti samudram. Apah is literally water, but here it refers to the water of the rivers. Yadvat, just as water of rivers, pravishanti, enters samudram, an ocean. Achala pratishtam. Achala means non-moving, fixed. Pratishtam. Pratishta means here banks. Just as rivers enter the ocean which has fixed banks. Even though fresh water is entering into the ocean, but you don't see the banks of the ocean expanding. They are fixed. Apuryamanam, and is never quite full. You never see this ocean overflowing with water. A river may overflow with water during monsoon, but you don't see an ocean overflowing with water during monsoon. So, yadvad apah pravishanti samudram. Just as the rivers enter the ocean which has fixed banks and is never quite full, tadvat, in the same way, kamayam pravishanti sarve. So, the objects of enjoyment enter into the sthita pragya. Saha shanti mapnoti. He remains completely peaceful. So, just as, so, So the rivers. Okay, now let us see how carefully you have been listening to. So there is a river, there is an ocean. Okay, with a fixed bank. Okay, there are rivers, there is an ocean with fixed bank. Okay. So what is the and the ocean does not overflow. Even though the rivers are flowing into the ocean is not overflowing. Okay. Now my question to you is, there is an analogy that is presented here. What is compared to the river? what is compared to the ocean with a fixed bank, and what is it, what does not overflowing indicate? Would anyone like to share your understanding of this verse? Okay, yes, Vrajarade Mataji is answering. So the rivers are the sense objects, correct? Okay, the rivers are compared to the sense objects. So the sense objects are flowing. Okay, yes, Shyamlal Prabhu is raising his hands. Yes, Prabhu, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So, yes, so the sense objects are the rivers that are flowing in. Mm-hmm. And the Siddha Pragya is the ocean. And
his
mind is totally controlled. That is why there is no overflowing of the ocean.
Correct.
Because he has totaled everything in the service of Krishna.
Hmm.
So the control is there is no overflowing of the ocean, although the rivers can overflow.
Mm-hmm.
But the ocean does not overflow because he is Siddha Pragya.
Yes, thank you, bro. Perfect. Thank you. So yes, so the rivers are compared to the sense objects. The ocean with the fixed bank is the Siddha Pragya. So even though the rivers may flow into the sense, the rivers may flow into the ocean, similarly the sense objects may flow into the Siddha Pragya. Saha shanti mapnoti, he remains peaceful because there is no ragadvesha. Ragadvesha vimaistu vishayan indriyaischaran, but na kamakami. But one who desires those sense objects, one who is not accepting those sense objects purely for survival, he cannot attain peace. Ashantasya kutasukam. And for one who has no peace, where is the question of happiness? So, like that. So here Srila Vishnachakra Thakur writes, this verse describes the Siddha Pragya's condition of not being affected or agitated when he accepts the sense objects. Just as in the rainy seasons, rivers here and there enter into the ocean, almost filling it up. Apuryamanam. But not being able to completely fill it up, not being able to go beyond the shore. In a similar manner, the objects of sense enjoyment come to the Siddha Pragya for his enjoyment, but it cannot disturb him. Just as whether the rivers enter or do not enter the ocean is not at all disturbed. Similarly, the Siddha Pragya remains undisturbed whether he gets objects of enjoyment or not. He attains the stage of jnana. So, he is not at all affected. Huh? So, when one day the rivers stop flowing into the ocean will not dry up. And one day when there is a very strong monsoon and the rivers carry so much water, still the ocean will not overflow. So the ocean is not dependent on river water for its survival. Like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, only 5 slides remaining. So I think I'll quickly complete these slides. And then next week we will do a quick recap and then move on to the third chapter. Okay. So please bear with me if I go 2 or 3 minutes extra. Vihaya kaman yas sarvan pumams charati nispruhah nirmamo nirahankarah sashantim sashantim adigacchati. He who gives up all objects of enjoyment, this is the concluding verse. This is the verse concluding the Siddha Pragya section. Okay. So this verse says, he who gives up all objects of sense enjoyment but carries out actions without desires for them, pumams charati nisprahah, he has no desire to enjoy, but he engages the senses in sense objects without a desire to enjoy them. Nirmamo nirahankara, being devoid of possessiveness and ego, saha shantim adhigacchati. He attains peace. So only a sthita pragya attains peace, because even in engaging the senses with the sense objects, he has no ahankar and mamakar. Nirmamo nirahankara. So this verse describes the person who does not enjoy the sense objects at all because he has no faith in them. He is devoid of possessiveness and ego regarding his body and objects related to the body. He attains the stage of jnana, shantim, sa shantim adigacchati. Finally, last verse of this chapter. Esha brahmi stiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyati stitva syamanta kalepi brahma nirvanam vichati osanaprita. Esha brahmi stitihi. This is the situation for attaining Brahman. So, one who is ready to attain Brahman, one who is ready to attain liberation, this is the situation of such a person, which has been described from starting from verse number 2.55 till 2.71. Esha brahmi stiti partha enam prapya na vimuhyati. And attaining this state, one will never be bewildered. And Brahma Nirvanam Richati, and he attains Brahma Nirvana. Antakale Stitvasyamapi. He attains Brahma Nirvana even at the time of death. Okay. So, my dear Partha, this is the position of a Stita Pragya. And if one attains this situation even at the time of death, he will never be bewildered. And he will attain Brahma Nirvana even at the time of death. Like that. So here Srila Vishwanatha Thakura says, this verse concludes the topic. Brahmi means that which gives attainment of Brahman. Even one at the point of death, what to speak of one at a young age by this practice attains Brahma Nirvana. What to speak of at the point of death? Young age if one attains, very good. But even at the time of death, if one manages to attain this situation, he will attain Brahman at the end of his life. Having presented very clearly jnana and karma and indirectly bhakti, this chapter is called the Sutra of the Gita, or the abbreviated form of the Gita. That's why Prabhupada titles this chapter as Contents of the Gita Summarized. This is the commentary on the second chapter of the Gita for the joy of the devotees' minds following after the great devotees. So this brings us to the end of the second chapter. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will continue this discussion next Friday. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Shri Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.